Hurt, Flirt, Blood Squirt. Written by Bittercape and read by Flower Parish. This is a DC Comics fic, rated mature, featuring the relationship Jason Todd / Slade Wilson.
I see my redhead mess, bed, tear shed, queen bee must squeeze. The stage of smells, tells, hells, bells, misspells, knocks me on my knees. It didn't hurt, flirt, blood, squirt, stuff, shirt like me on a tree. After I count down three rounds in hell, I'll be in good company.
Slade's control is impeccable, always. It's more or less what he's known for, in the circles where he is known beyond a whispered name and exorbitant prices. He always knows what he's doing, never does more or less than needed, precision and control a necessary skill when you're suddenly 10 times stronger than any normal man, and the entire world suddenly is frighteningly breakable. And control in one area leads to control in others. Slade is the master of his own body, and it does what he wants it to. Always. Or, at least, that has been the truth for the past 30 years, so Jason Todd comes as something of a surprise. Slade has paid attention to Red Hood since that nonsense with Black Mask a few years back, and he's interesting enough to do a little bit of digging. It's not particularly difficult, not with Slade's resources and knowledge of the bats and their identities. Knowing doesn't make Red Hood any less interesting, so when Billy gets a job offer from him, Slade accepts, mostly out of curiosity, even though the pay is nothing to sniff at. It's surveillance and information gathering, nothing requiring his skill set on the surface, so after a couple days of casing a series of warehouses in Arizona, he asks. So what's the catch? He asks, flat on his front on a rooftop outside the reach of the searchlights.
Hmm?
Hood murmurs in his ear, over the comms. He's on the other side of the area, and combined, they have a good view of all entry and exit points. The prep work for this has been good. Impressive, really. Nobody hires me for surveillance, Slade says, so there's something else.
Not at this stage,
Hood says.
I do need a second pair of eyes, and backup, but depending on what turns up, there might be more. And if there is, I'd like the option to bring in someone quickly, someone who knows the details already.
He pauses.
Someone with your skill set,
he adds, after a breath. Interesting. With a separate contract, Slade clarifies.
Yes,
Hood says.
I can't be sure what we'll find here, so it might not be anything.
Slade says. I'm willing to expand the current contract if it does turn out to be something. He's curious enough about seeing Hood work that he'll bend his rules a little. Hood makes a pleased kind of hum, and Slade's body reacts with a kind of shiver. Weird. There's movement along the inner perimeter, and his attention is caught. He dismisses that strange reaction for later consideration. Later consideration doesn't quite come soon enough. Back at the safe house, Hood's, but they're sharing the space for the duration. Hood takes off his helmet, his boots, and his jacket, and he gradually shifts into Jason Todd as he removes pieces of weapons and armor. Guns are removed from their holsters, left thigh, left ribs, right ribs. Knives next, at the hips and inside his boots and strapped to his underarms. Holsters are peeled off in the same order, straps tightening, digging in, before releasing. Nimble fingers move quickly over buckles, snapping them open one by one, speaking of years of routine putting armor on and taking it off. He's down to tack pants and a tank top, stretching his arms over his head, when Slade realizes his mouth has gone dry. He's confused for a beat, and then he can feel his blood rushing south, a hungry ache growing, low in his belly, and it's all too clear what's going on. It's been a long time since Slade has had an unintentional reaction to anyone, and it's a little disconcerting. His eye catches on the swell of Todd's pecs, perked up nipples from the cool evening air, clearly visible through thin and straining fabric, runs over his narrow waist and his impressive thighs, and, unfortunately, it's impossible to tell anything about the situation in his pants. Todd is not quite crass enough to remove a cup in front of an audience, apparently. Unfortunately. "Coffee?" Todd asks, and enters the tiny kitchen. He bends over to inspect what's in the fridge, giving Slade an excellent view of his muscular, round ass. "Or I could make a stir fry, if you're hungry." "I could eat," Slade says, eyes fixed on Todd's ass. "Oh, good," Todd answers, and straightens up, assorted vegetables and what looks like shredded chicken spilling from his hands onto the countertop. He snags a broad-bladed kitchen knife from the knife block and starts chopping. The knife moves fast, cutting thin slices of green bell pepper evenly, the flash of the blade a regular, rhythmic motion. "You okay?" Todd asks, and Slade snaps his gaze up. Todd is watching him, eyebrows creased as though he's wondering what the hell Slade is doing, staring at his hands. Slade wonders what he's doing too. At the edge of his vision, the blade keeps glinting as it moves, as Todd keeps chopping without looking. "I'll just grab a quick shower," Slade says, and escapes to the bathroom. He turns the water ice cold before stepping under the spray.
"So it's definitely something," Jason says in his ear, the third day of watching the warehouses. Slade hums in reply. There's a caravan of trucks approaching, loaded heavy, sagging on the axles. Not drugs with that kind of weight. Metal, probably. Weapons, maybe minerals. Kryptonite? No, not in that amount. "We might have to call in the lanterns," Jason says.
"Alien weaponry?" Slade's hum is definitely interested this time, and Jason laughs.
"How about we take them down, gentle-like, and we'll get a look at the goods before I call Hal."
Ugh. The only positive thing to say about Hal Jordan is how much he annoys Batman, in Slade's opinion. Still, it's not his op. "What's your plan?" he asks instead.
"Stay put,"
Jason says, and it's a surprisingly short time before he slides into the space next to Slade. He's close enough that Slade imagines he can feel the heat from his body, unlikely as that seems through all their combined layers of clothing and armor. "See that door on the second warehouse?" Jason says. Slade nods. It's a regular door, not a truck grate, and it's locked with a padlock. "Nobody's passed through that door on the night shift, but I recognize the guy who went in with a briefcase this morning. He used to fix the books for the Falcones, before he dug into some kind of nonsense with Don's nephew and left town kinda sharpish." "You want to look for documentation," Slade says. Interesting. He wouldn't have expected these people to leave much paperwork lying around, but if Jason thinks differently... "They haven't left anything that can be found through hacking, so they're storing it locally, on paper or on a disk. Either way, it's probably in that building." Slade is not sure what Jason wants with the documentation, but he's currently the boss, so Slade will accept whatever plan he's got, unless it's completely idiotic. Which would be more than a little surprising, considering the source. "I'll go in, you keep watch," Jason says. "Once I know what we're looking at, we'll reevaluate." Slade watches as Jason moves in the shadows, timing his approach to the guards' rounds. For a man built like that, he's uncannily good at melting into the smallest spots of cover, and Slade is fairly sure he wouldn't have spotted him, even with his enhanced senses, without knowing he was there. He crouches down and picks the lock in just a breath, and slips inside. Slade recognizes his own reaction faster this time, so at least he's not lost it completely, but it's still disconcerting to feel the heat coiling in his belly, outside of his control. His cock is filling rapidly, his mind stuck on a loop of Jason's heavy body going smooth and supple, his movements as flowing and feline as a man a third of his size. Unbidden, Slade's brain conjures up images of how a body like that might move in other circumstances, if he's as flexible as the way he apparently can move suggests. The cup is getting more than a little uncomfortable, lying on his front with a raging hard-on, but his body refuses to cooperate and remains entirely stuck on the idea that this is the time for uncontrolled horniness. There's the click of Jason turning on his comm in his ear.
"Got him,"
he says, satisfaction audible even in his low murmur. Slade's spine decides to spark with arousal at this, for some reason.
"We clear."
Slade takes a moment to rewind the last few minutes and can't remember having registered any guards while he had a minor crisis. "Hold," he says, throat mic picking him up. And if his voice is a little more growly than normal, there's not much he can do about that. And sure enough, the guard returns, a couple of minutes behind schedule. He passes the door Jason is waiting behind, none the wiser. "Clear," Slade says, and Jason slips back out, as quick and nimble as he was going in. Far faster than Slade would have expected, he's back at his side, patting his pocket. "Both paper and digital," Jason says. "They've been modifying alien tech, and I'm real curious about who their techies are, because the mechanics are beautiful, but I think we should be good to grab a couple of samples before I call in the lanterns. Discreetly." Slade couldn't have contained his grin, even if he wanted to. Red Hood is utterly mesmerizing to watch in a fight, and he's all Red Hood in this fight, plowing through the goons like a siege weapon taking down a wall, all speed and grace and power. Slade maybe gets a slightly unnecessary cut because he's watching Hood more than his own opponent, hitting the gap in the armor on the outside of his thigh. It hurts like a bitch, but he can't even regret it. Hood punching out the teeth of a Bane-sized thug is a sight he won't forget anytime soon. Slade wants to see him fight more, wants to see how he fights as Jason Todd, if he's kept any of his Robin tactics, wants to see how he fights inside Gotham's borders, under the Bat's heavy wings, wants to see him face any and all kinds of enemies and opponents. As it is, he gets to see Hood stand with a heavy boot pressing down on the head goon's neck, both guns raised against the ones that remain standing. "On your knees," Hood says, not even raising his voice, and Slade has to actually focus to not drop where he stands. Oh, he's absolutely fucked, and it's too late to do anything about it now. "Secure them," Hood says in Slade's direction. And yeah, first things first. Slade knocks them out and ties them up before going to inspect the weapons. Back at the safe house, Jason sheds the layers of Red Hood until he's Jason again, loose and languid and satisfied with a job well done, fingers ruffling through sweaty curls, making his hair look distinctly bedroom-like. He picks up the weapon he liberated again, some kind of sonic cannon, he said, and slides his hand along the barrel, feeling out the anatomy of the thing. His other hand cups the stock, fitting around the curve of it like it's never done anything else. Slade puts down his own laser monstrosity before he accidentally squeezes something delicate. "Just gonna check this cut," Slade says, and heads to the bathroom with as much nonchalance as he can manage with, once again, a rock-hard boner threatening to dislodge his cup completely. Christ. He leans back against the wall, not even bothering with anything beyond opening his pants and shoving them down far enough that he can pull out his cup and free his throbbing cock and his aching balls. That alone is enough of a relief, he has to hold back a groan. He wraps his hand around his shaft and is immediately rewarded with a dribble of pre-cum, easing the way. He absolutely cannot take the time to get anything else resembling lube, and this is going to be embarrassingly quick anyway, what with the days of buildup and the unfamiliarity of his body taking the lead over his mind. He can't find it in himself to worry about that, however. His own hand feels good enough that his knees nearly give out on the upstroke, and he thumps his head back against the tiled wall in an effort to get at least some control. It doesn't work. He can feel it rushing in, coiling in his groin, And then he pictures Jason's hands on the cannon, stroking the barrel, fingers strong and calloused, and he tightens his grip, gives himself an extra little squeeze, and that's it. He's coming, faster than he has for as long as he can remember. And just as Slade loses his battle to stay quiet, to not give himself away, groans what may or may not be a name. Just then, the door opens, after two rapid knocks that couldn't stop Slade's oncoming orgasm any more than they could stop time itself. "Hey, I got you some bandages," Jason says, stopping and starting on the last word when he looks at Slade, eyebrows rising of their own accord. "Okay," Jason says, and puts a box of bandages down on the sink. Slade cannot summon a single word to save his life. While he opens and closes his mouth like a fish, stupid with the orgasm and Jason's sudden appearance, and also unsure if he said Jason's name or not, and if so, if Jason heard it or not, "Panic," the voice that always sounds like Billy in his head says. "You're panicking. Pull yourself together." While Slade opens and closes his mouth and not a single word breaks containment, Jason's gaze drops, inevitably, to Slade's hand on his own cock, cum running over his fingers, between them, dripping onto the floor. "Oh, wow," Jason says, and then his cheeks immediately flush, bright and warm. "I'll leave you to it," he says, and turns away, gets back out of the room, the door closing silently behind him. "Fucking hell," Slade thinks. That seems to cover it. The end. It didn't hurt.